Breakfast with Spanky, 7:30 to 9:30 on RDU 98.5 FM.
Well, it's always exciting when different conventions come to town. I think Christchurch last year had a potato convention, which I got quite excited about. And one that's in town right now is a sleep convention, and someone going to that is Gerard Kennedy. Good morning, Gerard.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us on the show this morning. Now, you're an expert, or you know a bit about sexomnia. What is sexomnia?
It's basically a parasomnia, where people, it's like sleepwalking, except people perform sexual acts during their sleep.
I see. And by sexual acts, so that doesn't just have to be full on rooty tooting.
Not just full on rooty tooty. It can be just other acts of touching and
fondling
and so on. Yeah, fondling.
Common? Because it seems common in some people I know.
Fairly uncommon in its extreme form.
Yeah. Only in men?
Over about 15 years, I've had about 4 genuine cases and a couple of dodgy cases.
Right.
And all men.
Okay. So only 4 serious cases.
4 serious, or 4 serious cases that could be verified as definitely sexsomnia.
Right, okay. And sleepwalking, though, is pretty common, isn't it?
Sleepwalking is much more common, but it occurs in the same time span shortly after people go to sleep, within the first sort of hour or so of going to sleep, when they go into deep sleep. So it's kind of likes sleepwalking, but it's just involving other activities.
I see. So how did you become the go-to guy for sexomnia?
I work in a couple of big public sleep clinics in Melbourne, and a couple of hospitals, and people come there mainly for insomnia and sleep apnea, but you also see people that have unusual types of problems, and we try to help them as best we can.
And has issues to do with sex and being asleep, have they been known by sleep experts for quite a long time?
There have been isolated reports for quite a long time, and more recently the term sexsomnia was coined by some authors out of Canada and America.
You've got to wonder if it's a bad enough problem that it needs a term, or whether there's a bit of hype over the fact that we've sort of mixed two of our favourite activities together.
I think this is it's just a term that people like because it sort of has connotations, as you suggest.
Yeah. So what is the... you've seen 4 people with it coming to you as an issue, so I guess that there's quite a few people where things happen where they don't come and report it to an expert. What is the problem exactly with a bit of pump and pickle while you're sleeping?
Pretty much so. It's usually the partners that complain because the activity is rather robotic and unromantic.
Oh, yeah, because it's quite different than when they're awake.
And unwanted, yeah, it's sort of more like an automatic behaviour, and it's quite, you know, sort of impersonal.
And is it akin, I mean, it must have been compared in some ways to unintentional rape, is that right? Because that could be another issue as well. I mean, it's one thing if you're married or in a relationship with someone.
Well, that's what I said. There have been a couple of more dodgy cases where, you know, untoward activity has taken place, and the people have tried to use that as a defence.
And you think that's not legitimate?
It's not legitimate if they don't have a history of that sort of activity that's verifiable by partners' reports or other people's reports.
Right, I see. But it does cause big problems for some relationships.
Well, it's rather annoying for the female partners, and you know, the female partners describe the activity and how they try to wake the person, and when the person does wake, they've got no recollection or memory of the events that occurred.
Right, I see. I guess they finish off and then they go back to sleep.
Just go back to sleep.
Yeah. Yep. Now, you know, this is actually why a lot of men never want to share their bed with other male friends, isn't it? Because most men have some experience of the sleepy, gropey hands.
I know, you're telling the story.
But would that be some of the cases that it seems that men have very imaginative sleeping states, and then all sorts of strange things seem to translate?
Yeah, there have been other cases where people have been accused of pedophilia and things like that because they've had, you know, their children in the bed and untoward groping has occurred in a sleep state.
Right. You do have to deal with some awkward things, don't you?
So it's quite an awkward thing if the person is the, you know, perpetrator accidentally, unconsciously, of that type of activity.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, you've got some evidence that it could be a genetic issue, right? A father and a son that both had issues with it?
Yeah, well, the what happened was the son presented himself first at the clinic, and then about a couple of months after, without knowledge of it, his father came along as well. You know, his father had obviously spoken to the son and said, well, you got help, I'm going to go along and get help for my problem, which suggested it could be linked in some sort of way, familiar way, perhaps a little bit genetic. And we know that some forms of parasomnias, like sleepwalking and so on, can be running in families.
And you managed to even offer some medication, did you?
Well, we usually start with a sort of a conservative treatment, which tries to make sure they have good sleep habits and reduce all forms of physical and mental arousal in the hours leading up to and in bed.
Oh, God.
And that's the sort of... that's just normal sleep hygiene, like we'd suggest for people with insomnia, to relax before bedtime and so on, and maybe even do formal relaxation to a CD or that sort of thing. And then the next step up is to offer them sedative medication if that particular conservative treatment doesn't alter the frequency of the behaviour.
It's hard, isn't it, because the bedroom and sleeping is so closely linked with sex, but they're two quite opposite activities in a lot of ways.
Well, that's right. Even in the in this sexomnia case that I've presented here, we tried to get the couple that first came along, the young man and his partner, to actually schedule activity before going to sleep to see if that would alter the frequency of the unwanted activity after he'd gone to sleep.
And did that work?
Didn't really work. He still did the same behaviours after he went to sleep.
Well, that is a problem, isn't it?
That's a problem, yeah. Yeah, okay. And his partner.
Very interesting. Hey, thanks for your time, Jared. And how long are you in Christchurch for with the sleeping conference?
It's a 3-day conference, so most people have come in on Wednesday and we're all probably flying out on Sunday. So we're enjoying Christchurch.
Oh, very good. Well, I hope you have a good time and enjoy catching up with your chums.
Thank you very much. Okay, pleasure talking with you.
Bye-bye. See you. That is Gerard Kennedy there, our sexomnia expert, even though you'd have to say, talking to four cases over 15 years.
This has been a Breakfast with Spanky podcast, thanks to RDU 98.5 FM. To find out more, go to rdu.org.nz.